So are we gonna rank them, like, or do we just each pick our favorite? Like, how do we figure out what's the best hibachi grill trick?
Oh, I thought we were talking about my kids.
Oh.
I guess the Jacoby Kids power rankings is in flux as always. Chloe's on top
Yeah, and
right
you got
now.
twins, which makes it even more dicey
Yeah,
because, like,
yeah,
you can't even begin to parse
yeah. Oh,
that.
they count as one. I feel like you have to count them as one. It was one date where it happened, and so they're one being.
You go
Oh, I
like
got
1A,
oh, for
1B.
God. Always good to start the
Speaking of
podcast
keeping
on
our
a high
parents
note.
happy, let's tweet out the show link.
Great point.
I mean, I really want to know. I know we're going to get to the rundown that our
I
viewers
mean,
see down there, but I really want to know, more importantly, your favorite hibachi trick.
onion into the hat.
shrimp in the
Onion
hat,
into
dude.
the hat.
Shrimp in the
Oh,
hat.
what do you flip? You flip shrimp?
No, shrimp. Yeah, shrimp in the hat, dude. What do you think?
I'm a. I mean, I think it has to come down to the choo-choo or the volcano, personally,
No, no.
or just the transition. I mean, the choo-choo, sometimes they break out a little whistle. You ever seen them do that?
Yep, of course. Of course.
Wait, wait. So I
Of
got to
course.
admit, the volcano of onion, I absolutely know. Classic. That's my number two on the Mount Rushmore of hibachi benihana techniques. The choo-choo, I'm actually drawing kind of a blank. Like, what is
Oh,
the
they
choo-choo?
tap the thing, ding, 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 ding,
Yeah.
dude. Yeah, come on.
And they move the
Yeah, it's
volcano
got
because the
sound effects. It's a
volcano,
multi,
this, yeah.
it's a
That's why it's
multi-sensory
my favorite.
experience.
It's the volcano turns into the choo-choo smoke.
I'm gonna do your job for a second, Pablo. I've noticed in the lead up to this show that Alabaster has really sort of put some guidelines in
He's tried
place to
to.
sort of
He's tried
keep
to.
us in line. I noticed right here next to
Jacoby.
me, where is it? Right here,
Now you had it
clock.
right the first time. Oh,
Clock,
the
we're
clock,
doing that
clock.
now,
Yeah.
okay? And then
Yeah.
over here, over there, we got the rundown. It sounds like there was a meeting in our absence. There was like a meeting there, like, we're gonna have Pablo, Dominique, and Jacoby on the show. We need to get some structure in this program.
Alabaster demands that this choo-choo run on time,
He really
apparently.
does.
So yes, 45 minutes for this episode of Debatable, a live fake television show where we debate nothing. But the topics we might debate if we were the type of people who debated things are as follows. Steph Curry, and just so reductive, immediately establishing how reductive we are. Steph Curry, Sixers, Grizzlies, screw you, Timberwolves, screw you, everybody else involved in these stories. And then we're gonna play a game. Alabaster, a game
Game
that's a
time.
new game, I believe.
That's right.
Called Zoom In, Zoom Out. And then
Yes.
we'll have on those topics, Jazz Mavs, Tom Brady, and NFL wide receivers or world records. We'll find out together what WR stands for.
Anybody call you DJ?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
One man, Israel de Herrera. One
Oh.
person.
All right, let's make it two,
Shout
DJ.
out.
Yeah.
Shout out to another Israel.
So what
I didn't
Alabaster
realize
needs
we
to
were
know
making
is what you
those.
really should put up there is LeBron James, Cowboys, Lakers.
Now we're talking.
Is LeBron James going to play for the Cowboys next
Or
year?
the
And then we can talk
Lakers.
about whatever we want. You know what I mean? But as long as people tune in, they see the buzzwords they like to see, and there'll be no more meetings about restructuring the
He
program.
started the clock on us. I think that's another way to hint that we are taking too much time at the top of the show, BSing around, talking
Right.
about hibachi choo-choos.
Yes.
So give us a question, jerk.
That's right. As much as I would like to ask, would LeBron be a better wide receiver for the Cowboys than MJ? I am going to ask you about the playoffs and Steph Curry, who's back and looks great and erupted for 34 points off the bench and proclaimed he's bleeping back. And our question, does that change how you view the West?
So, a
First of all, first
couple
of
of
all, first of all, first of
things.
all,
What?
Jordan Poole. That's all that needs to be said about this entire
Yeah. No,
topic. Now go ahead.
right. So I feel like we have to jump into the pool on this pretty immediately because Steph Curry, I'm sorry.
It's
I'm
the
sorry.
genetic pool that Steph Curry has that really gives him a step
It's just
ahead. You know what I
ridiculous.
mean?
It's just ridiculous that the guy who's the third Splash Brother is named Jordan Poole. Like I was again, I'll say this as much as people don't want me to say it, but like who's next? Kobe water slide? Come on. This is ridiculous what we're doing here. But anyhow, Jordan Poole in the playoffs. 30 points, 9 for 13, 5 of 7 from 3 in game 1, 29, 10 of 16 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3. So as much as this is about Steph Curry doing the thing where like, hey, He's a bench player, although why that is the case seems to be as much theatrics as anything. The reason why I watched this game and felt bad for the Nuggets, like actually felt bad for them, which is not a sentiment I usually have watching NBA playoff games. The reason I felt bad for them is because they have this other dude, Jordan Poole, who is now another threat that they absolutely cannot defend. This team was so poorly constructed to defend the Warriors, and now Jordan Poole is like, guess what I can do? And yeah, cannonball.
Go, DJ.
So to actually answer this question, this actually really does change the way I view the West. I had the tiers as Suns, huge gap, everyone else. I did not see this Warriors iteration because guess what? In the 82 games, we never saw this Warriors iteration. The Big Three played 11 minutes together through 82 games. Klay Thompson didn't look like Klay Thompson. Jordan Poole had a breakout season, but he wasn't like this. And now what I saw last night was by like 2016-17 vibes. Like it was like the Oracle, the death lineup. And then with Steph Curry coming off the bench, they show the shot of him on the bike and the Nuggets have a 10-point lead. It's that 10-point, they should just stop. The Nuggets should just pull a fire alarm and try to get out of there, because once they put in the Wiggins, Green, Poole, Thompson, Curry,
it's ridiculous
lineup, it's absolutely over. And one of the things that this has done is Klay Thompson. Like he wasn't able to create off the dribble and sort of do the things that he used to be able to do. But when you add Poole and Curry, now all of a sudden he's like shooting catch and shoot open threes from the corner. It's Klay Thompson. This death lineup thing is absolutely crazy. And we haven't even started on what Draymond Green is doing to Nikola Jokic.
There we go. Like, there we go. How are you going to steal me? You're going to steal me. You stole me. You scooped me. I had a whole thing about being a defender and speaking. It was an alley. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
And speaking on the defensive proficiency of Draymond Green, because what he provided for this team, it doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Great sports cliche that we all need to use more often. I don't see it used enough. I want it incorporated more often. It doesn't
when
show up on the stat sheet.
When was the last time anyone out there held a stat sheet?
It doesn't.
Or a sheet.
You ain't going to find it in the box score. How about that? Is that better for you? Because we still have box scores, even though they're on the internet. They are still called box scores. You ain't going to find his contribution in the box score unless, are you going to chime in and say something about plus minus or something?
No. I just wanted to say, I literally put down stat sheets multiple times every single day.
Yeah, it's fair. Touché. That's a good point. Touché.
We are the most stat sheet reliant program, perhaps, in internet fake television history.
But Dominic, I'm so happy that you're on this Draymond 3. I'm going to throw you another alley-oop. The man went to the free throw line, and I looked at his stat line. They put it up underneath him as he was dribbling before he shot. He had 0 points. He had 0 points. I think it was like the third quarter. I was like, this is the best player on the floor.
Right.
And I'm totally fine with him having 0 points. Not like in a Rudy Gobert way, which we might get to, but like this Draymond Green impact on this is being overshadowed by the highlight behind the back passes and like the loud and one threes from Steph Curry. It's not pretty to watch Draymond take the pants off the MVP, but I appreciate it. Back to you.
That around the back pass from Jordan Poole, he's like under the basket and saw a man cut. Like, this is next level stuff. And Van Gundy said, this isn't Jordan Poole taking it to another level. This is Jordan Poole getting a bigger opportunity. Then I looked at his stat sheet and he's shooting 50% from three. No, this is a new level. Mr.
Yes.
Van Gundy, I hate to disagree with you, but this is a new level. And it's not fair for us to not talk about Draymond Green nearly as much as we're talking about Jordan Poole and these other guys, because he was the crux of the previous iteration of the death lineup, and he is the crux of this lineup. If you have someone who is dramatically undersized, is capable of defending not just any center, but the center, like the presumably back-to-back MVP center, and not defend them credibly, which is something I like to use when I know someone like Kevin Durant can't be stopped.
Credibly is a great adverb. Yep.
Not just defend him credibly, but like actually defend him and give him trouble. To be fair, I don't feel sorry for the Nuggets, though, which is where you started. Because like, I mean,
hold on. You okay? Let me cite the stat sheet.
Let's be honest. Like y'all just happy to be here.
Just called you soft, Pablo. You let him talk to you like that?
He is.
Let me point to the stat sheet that I read. First off, I am credibly hard for the record. But let me point to the stat sheet, Alabaster, that you put down, because the new death lineup, this is why I feel bad. The new death lineup. Credibly and not incredibly is a very key distinction.
The hardest people I know say I'm incredibly hard. That is a fact. It's been proven.
I go to the bank and they're like, yes, we can loan this guy yet more hardness because he's already very credibly hard. So the statute that Alabaster is not putting down, which I'm calling for, despite the fact that I am apologizing for ignoring that we have statutes on this program, is about how the death lineup had a like over 200 offensive rating. And had a defensive rating of 75.
It's only been a few minutes, but still, that's insane.
No, but hold on. It's a few minutes, but it's all it takes. Mike Malone said this after the game, the coach of the Nuggets. He says, as soon as that lineup goes in, it's basically over. They go up like 15, then it's like, well, that's a hole we can't climb out of. And part of the reason why, by the way, is because Nikola Jokic, man. Like, ugh, I feel bad for the Nuggets.
That's it.
For the podcast audience, I'm being slandered in the fourth box right now.
No, you're not being slandered. You're being credibly categorized.
What Nikola Jokic is doing when you watch him, right? He's all alone. He does not have help. He has no perimeter defense. And he is, Jacoby, you can empathize with this, I feel like, personally. You watch him play basketball. Not only is he as sweaty as a person can possibly be, his arms are all red. He is banging up on Draymond. Like, there are some, like, basketball sometimes, right? The modern version of the game, it's very perimeter oriented. I just watched Jokic for long stretches of this game last night, and just the amount of body on body sweat fluid exchange between him and Draymond, it's a nightmare for that guy.
He's back. Perverted P is back.
Okay. I'm just going to avoid the obvious joke that's sitting right in front of me. I'm going to go right through that. And I'm going to say this, that have you seen a beautiful pass from Jokic from the last two games? Have you seen one highlight, one of those long outlets, a behind-the-back dime, a no-looking transition? Have you seen any of that? Or what about those gorgeous high-arcing threes that don't even move the net when they go in? Or anything that's turnaround baby hooks. He's got a couple of those. But those things that make you say, wow, this is an unstoppable offensive machine. I have seen absolutely nothing of that. Someone show me the great dime that he has thrown. I've seen literally hundreds of them from this regular season. But I've seen zero in the last two games. And I really thought what they would do is swarm Jokic and make the shooters into shooters. They haven't even done that. They basically just said, like, we've got Draymond Green. You've got Nikola Jokic. That's all. That's our defensive strategy right there. Everything else will figure itself out. It's been astonishing. And to get back to the original question, it is now going to be a great, great Western Conference Finals between the Suns and the Warriors. And it was, seemed like it was headed that way in like November. And now it's definitely headed that way. And I can't wait. And I want to apologize in advance to the Grizzlies, to the Timberwolves, to the Mavs, to the Jazz.
And to Bob Ryan.
Anyone else who thinks that they're going to be at this party, this is going to be a two-person party. And that, of course, is going to involve Bob Ryan.
Yeah, Bob Ryan, I think this is about him saying Steph Curry. Yeah, Steph Curry's ruined basketball. It's clear that Steph Curry has not ruined basketball. But, I mean, are we getting a little too high on the Warriors? Because the Nuggets aren't actually good, guys. Like, I know they have a really good player.
What other team would beat them in a seven-game series in the Western Conference?
No, I believe – well, would beat the Nuggets?
No, that's not the question.
All of them. The Warriors. The Warriors, I think Phoenix. And I think Phoenix, I'm not sure that it's going to be a tight series, is I guess my point. I think that they are going to meet the way the bracket is looking. It seems like they're going to have to go through a young team to get there. The Warriors are. And they're going to meet Phoenix, presumably, in the finals. Well, and I'm not sure that they are as good. I guess they're volatile because they're such great shooters that they could certainly just be – lights out for a series and beat them. So Phoenix, I take back what I said.
Phoenix has a ton of size to go against this new look death lineup with Bridges and Johnson and Crowder and then forget Ayton because he's the center, but like they've just got and then
they
like,
actually the have the bodies. Booker, yes.
They've kind of got the antidote to this death lineup poison that the Warriors have just put in everyone's soup and scooped it out to the rest of the Western Conference. But I really feel that like Phoenix would give them a lot of trouble and I would pick them in a seven game series, but no one else in the Western Conference.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, the people who are loving this, though, of course, I mean, the NBA itself, Alabaster, we'll leave on this note, just like The NBA needs the Warriors in ways that, like, other sports really... The NFL doesn't need the Cowboys like the NBA needs the Warriors, let's be honest, right? The Warriors are the dynasty of the modern era. Ratings have been struggling. Guess what you get? You want... Would your kids like a new Splash Brother? Would that make you happy? Well, here you go. Here's
The kids a dog.
Yeah. And they, like, when they went to the lab to cook up this new Splash Brother, they didn't get creative. It's a very similar mold. They're like, hey, you like a certain complexion, heightish.
Oh, just super smiley and likable. Yeah, with a nice
what if we name him Jordan? You guys still like Michael Jordan, right?
Let's call him Jordan. Yeah. Oh, Splash, we'll go with Pool. It does feel like this was some sort of NBA backroom concoction that they threw out there in Alabaster.
I like this conspiracy theory.
I don't respect your check mark. We'll talk about Steph Curry for the rest of the damn show if we so please. Even though we didn't talk about Steph Curry at all.
A very uncreative conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I like it. Are we going down the column or across the row?
Down the column.
LeBron Jacuzzi.
Nice job. I'm so proud of Pablo not jumping on and making a gross joke based on Jacoby's question. Go DJ. What's the next question?
All right, next question.
My favorite part, back to you, was when Jacoby said that. We should all start saying that at the end of
our we wait till the end of the show to give out
every
our
every take at the end of it and say, David Jacoby, ESPN.
We should do that. We should do that. Next show, we should have awards at the end of the show that we give to each other.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to tweet everybody to haze us and they can get on the show. I like to do that.
All right, back to me and I'll ask the question. What's your reaction to another big 76ers win and Joel Embiid's back and forth with Nick Nurse?
So I obviously love this topic. I apologize for taking so long to get to it because Gus Johnson called this game on TNT. And if you want to know how I feel, just listen to the broadcast. I feel like Gus Johnson sounds. It was incredible. Everything about this game was incredible. Like there was a Alabaster at one point, the Raptors went on a 20-2 run. And I was like, oh no, oh no. The Sixers are going to get, this is, I've seen this nightmare before, and what happens? Tyrese Maxey is now doing a Jordan Poole sort of parallel thing where it's just like, now he's awesome. He's a big three member. Joel Embiid is going to the line a zillion times and making fun of Nick Nurse afterwards. Like, Nick Nurse is complaining about how often he gets to the free throw line. Joel Embiid is telling him to stop bitching. And then Nick Nurse tries to say something like, he had some awful post-game joke that didn't even... Anyway, the point is, yes, Joel Embiid, 12 for 14 from the line. The Raptors, 10 of 12. And so, frustrating, but guess what? That's how this is going
to
go.
I want to join Jacoby in playing with my phone and continue to let Pablo filibuster himself into a deep ditch.
Gus Johnson did a Popeyes read last night, and it sounded like he was throat singing. I didn't realize... Popeyes. Like, that's how it sounded. It was incredible. Everything about this game was so fun, including the fact that, yes, the Sixers took 30 free throws to the Raptors just taking 12. But I have no... I mean, right now, I have never been as confident as a person who roots for the Sixers than I have been during this specific series right here.
That's a great point. If you were talked to like week ago me was like, the Nuggets could pose some problems for the Warriors. Week ago me was like, look out for this Raptors-Sixers series. You know what I mean?
And me too,
now
man.
Me is just like, put the Warriors in the NBA Finals. And the Raptors, they're going to have to tear everything down. The Raptors like, well, everybody on the Raptors is 6'7", 6'8". And they can defend all five positions, and they switch all the time. They've got Nick Nurse, this genius defense. It's going to cause so much trouble for the sort of like one-trick pony 76ers. This is never going to work. And then you watch it, you're like, oh, wait, everyone on the Raptors is 6'7 or 6'8". I'm going to go Barkley here. Their strength is their weakness. It's like, well, guess what? Joel Embiid's going to do whatever he wants. Yeah. And one of the things Joel Embiid did was step on Scottie Barnes' ankle unintentionally, which completely changed the complexion of the series. Tyrese Maxey pops up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just over. Sorry, Toronto. Yeah. Sorry, Matisse. Remember, Matisse Thybulle's not gonna be able to play in Game 4 or Game 3. Oh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna?
Admittedly, I was very freaked out by that.
I picked the Raptors before the series started because of all that foolishness that it seems like Jacoby also was peddling. Then I watched game one and I saw that, no, not really. And I thought that Siakam's athleticism and speed was going to, I assumed that Embiid was going to have to guard him and chase him around, but no, not a problem. It's just like they aren't in the same class as players or as teams, frankly. And I assume Nick Nurse's ability to coach and make adjustments was going to be something of value. But I think that was my football mind. When you look at basketball, coaching, meh. Give me the best dudes.
Give me the giant guy.
Yeah, scheme, spleen. Give me the dude who's closer to the bucket and very athletic.
So, speaking of the best dudes, James Harden played like playoff James Harden again and kind of sucked. Is that any concern for your process, Pablo?
Kind of sucked. We can debate.
Oh, this is great. You hear this? You hear how we started this, Dominique? Suck. You see how he got off the blocks on this one?
Because
he's like, kind of. Let's talk about the word kind of. Okay?
Yeah, you stumbled that out of quickly the blocks.
Before we get to this James Harden.
For the podcast audience, I'm not holding my thumb like Bill Clinton did, defining what is. Look, we got to parse some words here.
You got to the first hurdle. You're just out of the block like, kind of.
Let's hear it, Bob.
A little bit kind of like James Harden and his first step. Not as fast as I used to be, not as quick, not as lethal, but 14-6. Yeah, like, look, if Tyrese Maxey is going to do the thing where he plays like this, averaging 30 a game, basically, then I'm not worried about James Harden. James Harden can be the point guard. James Harden, by the way, Alabaster, what I would say to you about James Harden specifically is the Tyrese Maxey, James Harden pick and roll that they do when Embiid is off the floor, right? This is some real Sixers basketball nerd stuff.
But the thing
that we were all worried about is what happens when Embiid is not on the floor because James Harden has looked like alleged trash. Well, it turns out that in this series, you get Tyrese Maxey looking like a better version of James Harden alongside James Harden, and then James Harden just playing point guard. Like, that is where this series has really turned to me. It's that those minutes, a third of the game, they are awesome. And so, yes, the next round against – let me look at the matchup here. The next round against – okay, the Heat against – I can't wait for this show right before that series. Miami. Like, I was gonna say, I just remembered where the Miami Heat play, and I was like, "Oh, that's gonna be a problem for James."
Oh yeah. Well, I think the one thing's worth mentioning is Tobias Harris is also. He's certainly not earned his max contract in the Philadelphia uniform, but he has shown up in these two games. And when you've got Tobias playing better than expected, and you've got Maxey playing way better than expected, it's okay that you don't need James Harden to be Houston James Harden. But at some point, maybe James Harden could be like mediocre Brooklyn Nets James Harden.
Yeah, that would be nice if you're rooting for James Harden. But, I mean, this might be for our game zoom in, zoom out. But as I watch James Harden play, I just think about how badly Daryl Morey must be agonizing over this decision that he has to make about his buddy at the end of this season. Because are you gonna pay this man because you gave up so much to get him?
So much fun!
He's going to pay this man.
Daryl Morey's gonna take a page out of football. Be like, we can franchise tag him, right? Is that a thing we can do here?
No,
I've heard about this franchise tag. Is that just throwing it out there? Is that a possibility?
Why are we getting so negative? Why do we have to imagine how James Harden's gonna make $300 million in a supermax contract while they're just rolling to the next round of the playoffs? Can we just do that later? Can we
not? Might be rolling into next year.
I would assume that he's playing his best ball. Like, I do not advocate for anyone using any substances or cheating or anything, but if there was ever a time to find a way to be better than you've been, it's when you are on the doorstep of all that money. So whatever it is that you need to do.
Spend some blood, spend some cells, grow some hormone, whatever. Yeah.
Go vegan, I don't know.
Plant-based, I heard plant-based is good. Yeah.
Nano bubbles.
Suntan, bottom half of your body, whatever you got to do.
You ready for a transition, Alabaster? I don't even know if this is next, but
it is now.
Someone who's going to be a free agent this offseason. Oh, man, I skipped it. Jalen Brunson.
Oh, wow. David Jacoby, ESPN.
Wow. Jalen Brunson being an upgrade over James Harden is something I did not see coming 2 months ago.
Oh, that was supposed to be a free agent option.
Yeah, it's all right. We like it. It's all right. We'll cut it out in the post edit. Don't worry.
All good.
Alongside Dominique's allusion to tanning your testicles, which just went.
What? I didn't say that. I didn't
what
say.
What happened?
What are you talking about? This man, where is the perverted pee? Keep that on deck. That is always needs to be close by.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to the Grizzlies and the T-Wolves. And our question is, after the T-Wolves rolled in game one, do you see Ja Morant and the Grizzlies bouncing back tonight?
So the context for this whole series is the fact that I think BetMGM had this number. Over 90% of the betting public picked the Grizzlies in this. Like, nobody really gave the Timberwolves a shot. And so is this going to be a 7-game series? Probably. That's the way I'm leaning. So sure, a bounce back is very plausible here. But what I am watching Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns do to a team that is incredibly and legitimately tough is wildly impressive. And I think the Towns part, as much as he is, I mean, there are so many jokes that are fair to make about Karl Anthony Towns. But yes, him and Anthony Edwards combining for 65 off of 23 of 41% shooting. I mean, that 23 of 41 shooting from the field, rather. It's Jacoby. Like, it's something that we have to sort of tip our cap to in a real way.
I think the Timberwolves win tonight. I really do. And I don't think it's going to be Anthony Edwards was out of his head in game one, right? He's just out of his head. And Ja Morant was defended very well and had a very sort of like un-Ja Morant impact on the game. I don't think those things will continue. But if you put Steven Adams and you tell him to guard Karl Anthony Towns,
can't do it.
That is not going to work. And even Jaren Jackson, a potential defensive player of the year, was having trouble with Towns.
Yo,
and
one thing Towns can do. Did you see what Towns did?
I mean, that was a one-off, but he produced. He produced. First of all, let's talk about that dunk for a second. Yes. Why didn't he push McDaniel?
He got dunked on
by Karl Anthony Towns and then shoves McDaniel. And the ref is just like, I understand. The ref was like, Pablo, very sympathetic. The ref was like, I understand what just happened to you in national television. We're going to let that slide.
Yeah, and it was the worst possible thing, too.
Push McDaniel.
Like, the best thing to do is to, like, get on to the next play. By shoving him, you slow it down and you force us all to continue to look at it and talk about it and focus on it. But in that setting, like, you got to be emotional. I don't know. Like, feels like somebody just pushes you in the back and you're just walking out the street. Like, you're gonna flail around and take a shot at something, and that's what happened.
The ref basically let Jacoby, to your point, the ref basically let Jaren Jackson Jr. use McDaniel like a personal, like a break room. Like, hey, I know you're mad. Go take it out on him. Like, we'll get back to you after. That's
stress
fine.
Stress ball. One of those squeezy stress balls that the eyes pop out.
I think that one of the things that we always focus on the Karl Anthony Towns and the Anthony Edwards, but like Malik Beasley was thumping the ball from the outside, and they've got these like weird Vanderbilt McDaniel guys. They're just like,
doing stuff.
You know what I mean? If you don't watch a lot of Minnesota, you're like Vanderbilt, like
But like, Vanderbilt
are playing well. I think there's also Rest versus Rust. Like, I kind of think like the playing juice kind of got them ready for this in that environment and. If you like put my children in a cage over a shark tank, I don't know if I would pick the Timberwolves. But
we need to upgrade this. We went from who do we pick if the aliens invaded. Now if you're to dangle our children.
No, my children are just above like the guy from FUBU and Mark Cuban. I mean like the show. They're in a cage. They have to watch the whole day of taping of Shark Tank if I don't get it right. So I don't know. This is a tough pick, but I'm just going to pick the Timberwolves.
So you said juice, which made me think about the Washington Commanders, and that's what they call the money that they stole from the other teams. They called it juice. It was pretty hilarious. Now every time I hear the word juice, I just think about somebody allegedly stealing money from the other owners in the league. But it comes down to Karl Anthony Towns for me. Is he going to be the stereotype of him that we all have, is kind of a big man who's very perimeter oriented and who is the opposite of what Pablo believes himself to be? Or is he going to be the basket attacking big man that he was in game one? If he's that, he puts pressures on the defense that I don't think I wouldn't say the Grizzlies don't have an answer for, but they're going to need to find an answer for that. And I'm not sure. Like, my assumption is at some point he reverts back to what he normally is like perimeter oriented.
No, Dominique, I am all in on the new Karl Anthony Towns. And granted, a lot of this, because I'm not watching the Timberwolves during the regular season, is based off of these highlight dunks. And also this fact, right? If we know two facts about Karl Anthony Towns, like anyone who casually follows the NBA, you know, okay, this guy and Jimmy Butler hated each other. And secondly, it's that he had this family tragedy where he lost all of these family members, including his mom, to COVID. The third fact that I want to present here on Debatable as a reminder that we need to keep in mind about evaluating Karl Anthony Towns this season is this headline, and I want one of you to read it out. This is from October of 2021.
Timberwolves Karl Anthony Towns says watched videos of gorilla fight to death before every game.
Timberwolves
Karl Anthony Towns.
Timberwolves in four. I forgot about that. Timberwolves in four.
Gorillas murder each other to psych himself up before the game, and we're questioning his toughness. I'm sorry, give me the guy mainlining gorilla snuff videos. Timberwolves in four. I'm with you.
I got Grizzlies in five now. I mean, if you share that with the media, it is clear that you are
incredibly hard.
Yeah, it's like you don't have how hard what Pablo has. Yeah, like who in their right mind is like, you know what I do? I watch. So A, where do you find these? They feel like they're illegal. And B,
YouTube should ban them. Agreed.
Like, what do you're watching these, and then you go out on the court and shoot a bunch of threes? Like, stop it. This does not give me any faith.
There's just a lot of time between looking at your phone and then, like, I feel like he needs to mainline those from the bench. You know what I mean? Because we've all been to NBA pregames. They're pretty chill environments. You know, I run out of conversation topics. It's just long. It's boring. Like, you really got to hit those right before you leave the tunnel.
They got a jumbotron right in the stadium. When they get back to Minnesota, they need to be playing that.
You, like me, have a VR headset, right? He needs to be on that. On the bench, just watching gorilla murders.
I would do it in a VR headset. Oh gosh, that makes me lose confidence. When was that article?
October.
Do we get to play the game?
All right. Yeah, we got 15 minutes to play the game.
Our new game is called Zoom In or Zoom Out. The crux of this game is I will give you a topic, and you guys have the choice. Do you want to zoom in on the micro, the specific thing, or zoom out and look at the larger issue at hand? The first one.
Alabaster, do you expect us to agree on whether we do this as a group or
you can
do
all
individually?
Do it. You can all choose your own lane.
Good.
First one. The Jazz lost to the Luka-less Mavs. Do you want to zoom in and talk about this series or zoom out and talk about the macro of this potentially crumbling Jazz team?
So first ground rule, when we say we want to zoom in or zoom out, we got to shove our face in front of the camera if we zoom in and then real far away if we zoom out. So for this one, admittedly, I do want to zoom out because what I'm watching here, I mean, this is not an understatement, I believe, Alabaster. We're watching a team fall apart. We're watching a team break up. Like, the Mavs should be beating the Luka-less, sorry, the Jazz should be beating the Luka-less Mavs, but instead what we're getting is a lot of credible reasons, there's that word again, a lot of credible reasons to believe that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are not going to be playing together for very long. Like, and part of it is because the Knicks hilariously are sending their executives to scout
Worldwide
this game.
West was at game one, dude.
It's amazing.
What are you doing?
It's amazing. It's like, of course, they're doing
they
that.
They have Spike sit courtside.
To court a guy who, by the way, is like not playing super well in Donovan Mitchell right now, just super inefficient across the board, basically. But then you have the subplot, my favorite subplot of this series, which is that, okay, yes, you should beat the Mavs without Luka, but also, like, Donovan Mitchell still doesn't like passing to Rudy Gobert. And that's just funny to me. It's just funny.
That stat, the passing to Gobert stat, has been sort of debunked since it was flared up on the internet last week. But I'm watching the game, and I'm like, he's open and they don't give him the ball.
Correct. You
know, he does not shoot. He doesn't get shot opportunities. He's a great defender. He had an amazing block last night. I'm sure you guys saw the recovery play. It was great. But, like, he affects the game in so many ways. He had 17 rebounds in both games. But, like, you got to shoot the ball, like, more than three or four times if you are one of, like, the best centers in the game. If you're, like, one of the top five best centers in the game, you got to shoot the ball more than three or four times. there's been rumors that Rudy and Donovan didn't get along, and they did like the whole like press tour where they're like, no, we're best friends, we're buddies, everything's great. But no, guess what? They are not. And this team is going to beat the Mavericks, I assume, in this series. However, I don't think this team is this team next year. I don't think this team is this team.
Agree with the second thing, disagree with the first thing.
How is Rudy Gobert not a bigger villain? Like, A, he's French.
Talk to me.
Like,
he gave everyone COVID intentionally.
Boom. That's the one. Like, he's French. He gives everyone COVID. His highlights are defense, which generally people don't like. He made a big joke of the whole thing. He's arguably holding back a team that has Donovan Mitchell, who's a kind of a throwback as a player style is concerned, like an Iverson-esque high usage guy who doesn't get great efficiency numbers, but it's still really fun to watch. Like, I am shocked. Maybe it's just because they're in Utah. Let's get the Jazz out of Utah. There is no Jazz in Utah except for the basketball team. I don't know that they belong.
The whole thing about the Utah Jazz really doesn't make sense on a number of levels right now. And one of which, Alabaster, I mean, the whole villainy of Rudy Gobert thing that Dominique is alluding to.
Don't be racist, Pablo.
I'm sorry. I know, all look same. But the point of the Rudy Gobert thing is, yes, he should be better, or at least there is a very key distinction that we have to draw when you talk about defense. And this is the riddle of NBA defense, where how is it that one guy individually is incredible, but the team can be torched for 40 by Jalen Brunson and what? Maxi Kleber, who they played at center small ball style to draw Rudy out of the paint, Jacoby, he also had his way, right? Like, this is a disaster.
They're like, oh, Rudy is the best. We'll call him the best rim protector in the NBA. Sure, fine. He's the best rim protector in the NBA. Well, guess what you have to do to be a rim protector? You have to be near the rim. So we're going to have Kleber be our big man. And you know what you're going to do? Leave him open in the corner. What was he? 8? I think I want to say 8 for 11 or something from 3. It was just, and they didn't just ridiculous. Go in. Like, he was alone, and they were all swishes, and he was running back by the time they even went through the basket. It was like it was inevitable every time he let go of the ball, and they'd made no adjustment. And one thing about Rudy Gobert is I do not know this man. I've never spoken to this man. I know nothing about him personally. But what I do know is the way people around the league talk about him. Like, he just gets kind of like routinely disrespected by his opponents in a way that makes me like wonder, what is it about his personality that makes him sort of like universally disliked in a way that players that play harder than him, that like a Pat Bev, I would hate Pat Bev if I was in the NBA, but he's respected, where Rudy Gobert is just like routinely disrespected in league circle.
It just feels like he's a classic case of a guy who should be on a different team. And I say that because the Jazz also don't have guys who defend on the perimeter at all. Like, they don't have that guy. And so Rudy Gobert is truly Ingles. All come on.
Yeah. Joe, no, I love Ingles, but he got hurt. Ingles did a lot for them.
No. And so if that is the best hope you have for a guy who is best as a rim protector, just the way to save Rudy Gobert is to like, and this is maybe the solution for a lot of guys like this, but just put him on the Warriors, you know, like make it so that he doesn't need to score. And he is going to be the best version of himself for you. But instead, Alabaster, the last thing I have on this is simply that what Jacoby said about the Jazz probably winning this series, if Luka comes back next game, that's not happening, man. I don't think that's happening if he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think Rudy Gobert is as good as people believe, specifically when you get into, like, it's 82 games, back-to-backs, all that stuff. Like, people are not game planning for you in that way. When you have someone who is a specialist as Rudy Gobert is, and his game is not as well-rounded on the other end of the floor, even as, like, a perimeter defender, is somebody who, like, you can game plan around, and that's true of this game or any game. You got one guy who's like really, really right hand dominant. If you take away his right hand and he can't even like hit a floater or I don't know, a mid range off his left hand, like then it becomes a problem. And that's what Rudy Gobert seems to be. And it felt unfair at one point, but every year he becomes the anchor for this team. And doesn't matter how great a rim protector you are, if the result of you being a great rim protector is people get wide open corner threes.
Yeah, I was waiting for Alabaster, secretly the biggest stat nerd on our show, to pipe in here. So what do you got?
A couple things. One, all of you guys ostensibly zoomed out, but you really zoomed in and just talked about the micro of Rudy Gobert, that one tiny thing. Anyway,
apologies.
The second part is, this isn't a stat thing, but Do any of you guys realize that Donovan Mitchell got absolutely cooked last night, and that was part of the reason that Jalen Brunson went off?
None of that. No. That would be zooming in.
Okay, let's zoom in. Let me zoom in on that quickly. Jalen Brunson, he either hits a three or he gets into the lane and does a little chicken wing move because he's so strong, and the defender goes flying away, and then he just hits like a little 4-foot left-hand shot. Like, I can't imagine how many times that he just went in there, did a little shoulder chicken wing, and then just like, boop, thank you.
He's really
good. They're really going to complain. It's going to be called next time. Let's move on, Alabaster. We got 7 minutes left, and I want to get to the tweets that are mad at us.
Let's get this one. Do you want to zoom in on Tom Brady's latest quotes or zoom out and discuss the conditions of his return and his failed coup of the Miami Dolphins?
So has anyone actually asked Tom Brady directly about the whole Dolphins thing yet? Because I feel like that's the zoom in that I want, but people keep on zooming out, and that's frustrating.
So what are you going to do, zoom in or zoom out? Are you just going to tell us that you're frustrated that no
one's
going
to tell us that you want us to zoom out? Is that what you're doing? Complaining about your teammates now? Okay. Okay, Will Barton and Boogie Cousins over there.
I was trying to figure out how to play off of him. I thought we were running a pick and roll, and then he just laid down in midcourt. I didn't know what he was doing. He
started barking like a dog. What are we doing, dog?
Did we call that play? I don't know. Are we zooming in or zooming out, or are we being critical of the media complex in general?
Let's zoom in on the Miami thing for a second. Let's imagine this is true. And let's just take it super far and do the media thing where we overreact to everything. This is a Tom versus Bill situation where he wants to be in the same division as Bill Belichick. And he wants to beat Josh Allen, the next Tom Brady. And he wants to beat Bill Belichick. And he wants to take the Miami Dolphins to the top of the AFC East that he's dominated for so long. That is the part that I want to be true. It's not true. If he did go to Miami, they would be the third best team in the division regardless. But in my head, the drama, the incentive that doesn't exist, I want to exist. That's my take on that.
I don't know that they will be the third best team. Like, as long as they can fix the offensive line, which they've started to do, the defense is outstanding. They've added some pretty impressive receivers. The question is, what can they do at quarterback with Tua? And obviously, it will only be a couple weeks if he went down there before he took off that suit and tie and got in the huddle. And then
that's the funniest part.
They got a chance to win the division. Like, that's, let's be honest, that's what the real plan was.
Can we just imagine, can we zoom in on the hypothetical like Instagram video Tom Brady would have posted where he Supermans his shirt off and walks back onto the field? It would have been ridiculous, and you know he had that pre-plan.
Oh yeah, WWE all the way. He would have pulled the whole running out the tunnel, ripping his shirt off, going in there.
He brings a duffel bag, and inside the duffel bag is a football, and he throws it. Just like, guess who's back? No, I mean, that's why I started off the way that I did, as much as I was lying on the floor like a dog. Because I want him asked about this, right? The reason this story is so fascinating is because Ben Bolin of the Boston Globe reported this. He seemed to have one very good source, and that is enough for everybody else to make jokes about. But I'm actually fascinated as to whether Tom Brady would even begin to acknowledge this in any real way, because yes, the whole plan of retire, become executive for the Dolphins, unretire, get Sean Payton in as the coach. Obviously, this all got blown up by Brian Flores' racial discrimination lawsuit, which, again, just how much else is in this story? Like, everything is in this story at this point.
There's a lot. Like, only Tom Brady is like 17 moves down the chessboard where he gets to play with Davante Adams and Jalen Waddle. He's just like, who are the receivers? We got Waddle and Adams over there. I can make that work.
Tyreek Hill.
Make that work.
Adams. Anyway, Tyreek Hill. Sean Payton is on this chessboard also. But I think
Tyreek Hill. My bad. You're right.
Yeah. They got rid of Adams. They sent him to New England. But on this whole thing, like, I do think at the next like rich white man's meeting, they should show this video as why not to do racism. Because the rich white men were about to come together and win a Super Bowl in Miami. The rich white men were about to do all of these great things. They were all going to come together. Sean Payton and the Dolphins and Tom Brady were going to all come together in Miami, where lots of old rich white men like to go and do rich white man things. But you know what? They racismed. And then the racism filed a lawsuit and blew it all up. So like at the next meeting, just play this whole saga and say, see, it can backfire on you too.
That's yeah, all. there's a real Scooby-Doo villain dynamic here. Of I would have gotten away for it with it if it wasn't for you pesky institutional racisms.
Oh man, it feels more individual than institutional at this point, but that too.
Fair.
I love Alabaster. The fun out of the show with racism. One of my favorite pastimes.
I said institutional. What a buzzkill.
I
had Devonta Adams on the wrong team.
That's fine. I mean, the fact of the matter is I was going to correct you, and then what went through my head is nobody knows where he is, so let's keep it moving. It's like most 80% of people are going to believe it.
Yeah, that's how I found out he's on the Patriots now, incidentally, just now.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Matt You're Jones. Welcome. I know a thing or two. I just wait for Jacoby to say names of basketball players, and then I repeat them like I didn't hear him say it.
Vanderbilt, you had no idea. You thought Vanderbilt
I do know him
in Brooklyn.
I do know Vanderbilt. That's one that I
do. You know Vanderbilt? What's Vanderbilt's first name, Dominic? What's his first name?
No.
That's not fair. We can't even put each other on the spot like that. But I will say,
we're not doing that.
I do know it's Jared. All right.
His first name is Jared Pablo, you dummy.
Yeah, we can't be putting people on the spot like that. That's not good teammating.
Two R's, by the way. Let's zoom in on the two R's.
Watching the game and hearing the name Vanderbilt, and I was like, did he go to school there? And then I saw the back of his jersey. I was like, oh, okay. I did just learn of him in the play-in game or game one, one of the other.
Who is this scion of American industry, Alabaster? So we all asked ourselves when we saw that a Vanderbilt had taken the floor.
So, guys, we were going to talk about the evolving NFL wide receivers market. We'll save that for tomorrow. We have Kevin Clark on the show. But I do want to close out the show with a different checklist. And that is a perverted keys checklist who said of these things.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't even want to say them. I'm just going to check
them out. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, remember what I just said about being a good teammate and like selling each other? Like that, whatever I was, what was in my heart and soul as working together on this program, Debatable, you just crushed that heart. You froze it, and then you took a sledgehammer to it, and it is now just in pieces.
I crushed it like a gorilla murdering another gorilla.
Oh, gosh.
Really say body-on-body fluid exchange?
Yes, it was a Draymond Green, Nikola Jokic thing, and I was just like, Pablo.
And then
Pablo.
You passed it. Did you pass? You said Jacoby by name. You passed it to Jacoby off of that.
He was like, end on that.
Let's go with that. DJ.
Jacoby, I mean, when I talk about sweaty bodies, it's hard to avoid throwing the ball to Jacoby.
Okay, you think that's helping? Do you have room on there for another one, Alabaster?
We got 3 seconds left. Show MVP. Who is it? Name him right now.
Alabaster.
I'm going to vote for the only person here who is, in fact, credibly hard.
All right. He's even for himself.
Give Alabaster a trophy. Good job.
You know what? I like the clock. I like the clock and the checkboard. Great job by you, Alabaster.
I feel like we're at recess now. We can all go,
at least we didn't get. At least we didn't get the prison horn, the breaking news prison horn.
Oh, that was anxiety.
Do you think that the same rules will be in place with other talents on this show? Like, I'm going to check in tomorrow. I feel like this is just for us.
Oh, the prison fight horn. I heard it.
The fact that they can just bring that in for a beat is even more terrifying.